As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word of truth, how it reveals a sovereign God of all grace and love. We pray that thou will bless and anoint this word to our hearts, that it will glorify thee and edify us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Presbyterian churches are Calvinist churches. The reason we're Calvinist churches is because it's what the Bible teaches. In this chapter of St. John, we have reference to all 5 points of Calvinism. Actually, these are the 5 points of the Protestant Reformation because Luther affirmed all of them, although the Lutheran Church no longer does. Luther did. Not just Calvin. These 5 points are known under the acronym of TULIP, T-U-L-I-P. T for total depravity, that we are by nature born with a sinful nature that is turned away from God and cannot come to God if God doesn't come to us. Unconditional election, you. God chooses before all worlds out of the sinful, fallen human race that he could have left in their sin. He chooses the elect to be saved by Jesus Christ. It's unconditional grace because he doesn't choose us depending on our condition. Our condition is depravity. L, limited atonement. Christ's atonement was of value to save an infinite number of worlds, but it was designed only for those whom the Father gave him to save. Irresistible grace, the secret work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, is what draws us to Christ and makes us willing to accept him as our Lord and Savior. Perseverance of the saints, those for whom Christ died and who are truly saved, can never lose that salvation. The most famous preacher of the 19th century was a Baptist, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Spurgeon of the London Tabernacle was the most famous preacher of the 19th century. And he was a 5-point Calvinist. The most famous preacher of the 20th century was Billy Graham, who didn't believe in any of the points of Calvinism. He believed that those who are regenerated must first believe. You believe, and then you're rewarded with the new birth. The Bible teaches without the new birth, you can't believe. He believed Christ died for everybody, but that doesn't actually save anyone. It just makes it possible for people to save themselves. He believes that he got the 5th point a little bit, but he distorted it all out of shape. Perseverance of the saints, not that those truly saved will persevere in holiness all their lives, but rather that those who once say the sinner's prayer can never be lost, even though they later deny Christ and live like the devil. I don't know what he does with the parable of the 4 soils. Some believe with joy for a time and then fall away forever. They were never really saved. The soil was bad. So why do we believe what is called Calvinism? Because we believe what's in the Bible, as we'll see in this chapter. Now let's begin with verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. As he so often does, Jesus uses an illustration from farm life. If someone gets into the sheepfold not through the door, he doesn't have good intentions for the sheep. He's come to kill or to steal. These are the false prophets, the false teachers, the scribes and Pharisees. They don't enter the sheepfold through Christ by faith alone, but some other way, like the Pharisees, through good works, through their keeping of the law, through adding to the law numerous burdens that had to be kept as well. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In many countries, and even in England today, shepherds give a name to each of their sheep, and they know the sheep, and they can call the sheep, and the sheep will hear their summons. And they won't come to the voice of a stranger, because they know their shepherd. Christians know the voice of the good shepherd, and they won't follow a stranger. When I was first saved, I was going to Bible studies all week long, as well as church on Sunday. And I was at a Bible study that I went to weekly, and a very attractive young lady showed up. And she said, "Oh, you like Bible study?" I said, "Oh, yes." She says, "Well, I know of another one." And so she gave me an address. And before I met Vicky, so I was single, and she was an attractive girl. Plus, I liked Bible studies. So I went to this Bible study, and I was a brand new Christian, but still, it blew me away. They were teaching that Jesus didn't fulfill his mission, and he failed in several points, which had to be supplemented by the work of Reverend Moon. So these were Moonies. I was arguing with the teacher. I mean, I wasn't shouting or anything. I was just saying, well, look, how could you say Jesus failed? And the owner of the house, who was a leader of this, a big, tall man, he came and towered over me, started shouting at me, "You can't come here and argue with Reverend Moon's teachings." So I thought, man, this is not the shepherd's voice. "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things that were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." Notice the present tense. They are thieves and robbers, not they were. Because Moses and the prophets were not thieves and robbers, but the present scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, doctors of the law are thieves and robbers. But the elect didn't hear them. They heard the voice of Jesus. "I am the door, and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus is a door. He's the only way into the kingdom. As he said in another place, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me." You can't get to the Father through Buddha. You can't get to the Father through Muhammad. You can't get to the Father through Reverend Moon. That's why I object to the Lord's Prayer in public school, because it's teaching you can go to the Father without going through Christ, which is exactly the opposite of what he said. You don't need Jesus to call upon the Father. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the world, for all Christians, for all of humanity. He giveth his life for the sheep." Then he says to the Pharisees in verse 26, "You're not my sheep." He doesn't give his life for goats. He gives his life for sheep. The sheep are the elect whom the Father has given him. The Bible calls Jesus' sacrifice a ransom. What happens when you pay a ransom? The person for whom you pay it goes free. If Jesus made a ransom on the cross for all of humanity, then all of humanity is saved. which is certainly not true. But everyone for whom he paid the ransom does go free, because he paid it only for the sheep, those whom the Father had given him to save. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. There are many hireling ministers today. Liberal churches, Roman church, full of them. You know, I know ministers in mainline churches that they get their sermons off the internet or in the mail. They never labor over a sermon. They never labor in prayer. They spend all week playing golf. They have a pleasant life, and they're respected members of the community, they're reverends, but they're hirelings. A friend of mine was a graduate of seminary. He went to England and studied for a PhD, which he received, and he was ordained as an Episcopal minister in England, a Church of England minister. And he was given a nice parish in the country. He didn't believe anything of Christianity. And he had a very pleasant life there. He played cricket. He was a Yank who couldn't play it very well. And he was a respected member of the community. He had a very pleasant little life. Very easy. Came to the States, and he pastored an Episcopal church in this county. While he was there reading the scriptures, he was saved. And he started preaching the word of God in this church. In short order, a huge number of people left the church. And he said they left insulting him on the way out. And most of the people who left were the most deep-pocket people of the church. So finally the bishop called him in and said, you're done. We don't need your kind. He was a hireling, but God had mercy on him. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and have known of mine, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And again, I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. This is a prophecy of the Holy Catholic Church, the universal church, elect from every nation but one or all the earth. No Jew, Gentile, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but all are one in Christ Jesus. One fold, one shepherd. Many denominations, but it's really one church. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Jesus' death was not being defeated by his enemies. He says, I lay down my life. And it was his own power to take it again. He rose from the dead by his own power on the third day. Then there was a division again among the Jews for these things. And many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? This is one of many times the Pharisees accuse him of being demon-possessed and crazy. Just sheer blasphemy. But others were hearing the shepherd's voice. They were saying, these aren't the words of a devil. How can the devil open the eyes of a man born blind? And it was at Jerusalem at the Feast of Dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Jesus wasn't normally in Jerusalem because it was a dangerous place for him. He was normally in Galilee. But he went to Jerusalem for the religious holy days, religious festivals. This particular holy day he's attending is a feast of dedication, which is Hanukkah. Now, there are two interesting things about this text. One of them is that this is the only text in the whole Bible that mentions Hanukkah. One of the most joyous religious ceremonies of the Jews, Hanukkah, is not in the Old Testament scriptures. It was never commanded by God. It's a tradition. And here's another interesting thing about this text. Some of the Reformed faith, these are people exclusive psalm singers, they also forbid the celebration of Christmas and Easter, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday. They say, if God didn't command it, you're forbidden to do it. And the only thing God commanded for holy days is the Sabbath. So, it's a sin to worship on Christmas or Easter. Well, this is an interesting thing, because we know Jesus didn't sin, but he attended a religious ceremony that God never commanded. That was a tradition. If Jesus can attend Hanukkah, which is an uninspired, uncommanded ceremony, you can attend Christmas. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. Some of humanity are his sheep, and some of humanity are goats. These are the elect and the reprobate. We deserve to be left with the reprobate. It's grace alone. He selected us to be his sheep. You're not my sheep, and because you're not elect, you can't hear me. You can't believe in me. The sheep, the elect, hear his voice and come to him. He's saying, you don't believe in me because you weren't chosen to believe in me. You're not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. This is irresistible grace. The elect, whose hearts the Lord has opened, hear his voice, and they follow him. They would not resist the call to Christ because when their hearts are open, they want Christ more than anything in the world. They're not forced. They come willingly. And yet Jesus says elsewhere, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And the word draw is the same word for drawing in a net full of fishes. Father draws us, but he doesn't draw us by force. He draws us by making us willing. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. This is perseverance of the saints. Those whom the Father chooses and for whom Christ dies are irresistible, drawn to Christ, will never perish. Never lose their salvation. The life they receive is eternal. Your soul will never perish for all eternity. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. This is unconditional election. My Father gave them to me. There are certain members of the human race whom the Father gave to Christ to be saved. He calls them his sheep. Scripture calls this the elect. And no one can pluck them out of Christ's hand, and no one can pluck them out of the Father's hand, because the hand of Christ and the hand of the Father are one hand. I and the Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. Which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God'?" Now, this argument may sound strange to our ears, but it wouldn't have to the Jews. They were familiar with the scripture he's speaking of. In the Old Testament, sometimes magistrates and leaders were referred to as gods with a small g. It's in the Bible. Jesus said, that's because they're God's deputies to administer justice and to punish evildoers with God's vengeance. So they're called gods with a little g. Now, Jesus' argument is this. If a mere human magistrate can be called gods, then why can't I be called God if I was sanctified by the Father and sent from heaven? And he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized. And there he abode, and many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. Jesus has said this before, "The works that I do are proof that the Father is in me and I in him." These goats don't believe. But Jesus leaves Jerusalem and he goes where John at first baptized, and there are sheep there. They hear his voice, and they believe, and they come to him. So we've seen all five of the Reformed doctrines of grace are found in this one chapter of St. John. Total depravity. You believe not because you're not my sheep. Not able to believe because you weren't chosen to believe. Your nature won't allow you to believe. Unconditional election. The Father has given me the sheep. He didn't give me the human race. He gave me the sheep. Limited atonement. I lay down my life for the sheep. But ye are not my sheep. Irresistible grace. My sheep hear my voice and follow me. Perseverance of the saints. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. Soli Deo Gloria. Only to thee be glory, O God. Salvation is all of thee and not of us sinners. But it's all traced back to thine eternal love for those whom thou chose to save, and for the love of Jesus who laid down his life for us, for the blessed Holy Spirit who regenerated us so we could believe and be saved, and for the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost who preserves us unto eternal life. Amen.